Welcome to the Sean Stevenson Show. I'm Sean Stevenson, your host and professional speaking guide. You have a message to share, and I can teach you how to get it to millions. The Sean Stevenson Show, the best resource for building a lucrative speaking business and a fulfilling life. Enjoy the show. Behind closed doors, I have this mantra that I say over and over to myself when I'm feeling scared, when I'm disappointed, when I want to quit. And it's very simple. Just keep going. Just keep going. I'm going to tell you a story about an area of my life that has nothing to do with speaking, but it's a great metaphor that I continue to reference in my own mind, in my own life, when I feel stuck in my career, developing my reach, increasing my income. And the story takes place years ago, when I was a young grade school boy. You see, when I was a young kid, I was obviously very unique with my disability. I was 3 feet tall and in a wheelchair. And as a kid, you know how most boys go through that phase that girls have cooties and they put signs on their forts that say, "No girls allowed." Well, I never went through that phase. I always had crushes on girls. I always wanted a girlfriend. I always wanted to someday get married and have a lifelong partner. And as a young boy, I was able to corner the market, because while all the other boys were saying, "Ew, gross, get away, girls," I was able to make friends with them and then for them to see me as their boyfriend. Now, for what that's worth, when you're in grade school, that means they maybe hold your hand on the way to class. But at that time in my life, I was able to corner the market because people, young boys, weren't interested in that, but I was. Now, fast forward the clock of my life to junior high. And when I was in junior high, I started off my 7th grade year super popular. I asked out the most popular girl in the school, told her that I would love to be her boyfriend. I asked her out in a poem. Yes, I wrote a cheesy poem, and I folded up, and back in the day before there was text messaging, the way we would reach out to each other is you would fold up these notes into a little football-like triangular origami thing, and you would put it in somebody's locker. And the girl's name was Maria, and I asked Maria out, and she said yes, she would be my girlfriend. And what was really interesting is that as the days and weeks went by as being boyfriend-girlfriend, she started to pull away from me. She didn't want to meet me after class anymore. She didn't want to call me her boyfriend anymore. And I had found out through asking through the grapevine, why was Maria not wanting to be my girlfriend anymore? And it turns out, she was being teased by all of her friends for having a boyfriend that was in a wheelchair and little. And the social pressure got to her, and she was worried about what people were thinking. And so she felt bad and didn't want to dump me directly, so she just pulled away. And it broke my heart. And if you remember your first heartbreak moment, you know that even though it's not that big of a deal in the course of your whole life, it's a big deal at that age. So then, went on to high school. You know, 7th grade was awful, 8th grade was awful, didn't ever have another girlfriend because I had convinced myself that why would a girl want to date me? And I let that moment really impact my confidence. And if I'm being real with you, I would say I let it bother me for well over a decade, probably even longer than that. and through high school and college, deep down inside, I had this fear that if I liked a girl, she might like me back. But it was only a matter of time before she would wise up that there would be somebody else better for her than me. Why would she settle for a little guy in a wheelchair? This really impacted me. Now move the timeline of my life up to my mid-20s. And I was on a date with a girl. And we were in a parking lot at a Starbucks. And it was winter. I was living in Chicago at the time. And we were talking and she said, "Sean, you know, I really like you. I could see myself even falling deeper in love with you. But I could never see myself marrying a guy like you. I don't think I could imagine what it would be like to come down the aisle at my wedding and be marrying a little guy in a wheelchair." And she said that it bothered her parents, it was bothering her friends. And I was just so frustrated, because here I am, now I'm in my mid-20s, and it felt like I just kept having that negative story continued to replay over and over in my mind and in my life. This is just another confirmation that I'm not lovable. But I snapped. I snapped in my mid-20s and I said, "Nope. I am not going to let this beat me. I am a good human being. I deserve love. I deserve to have somebody be attracted to me sexually and want to develop a life with me." So I went on a mission. And this is a little bit embarrassing still, but it's the truth. And that mission is, I read hundreds of books about human sexuality, about what draws men and women together, what repels us, what makes a woman attracted to a man, what causes a man's confidence to be stable and draw in the opposite sex. Like I said, it was a period of time where I just refused to give up. And I had that mentality of just keep going. And as I read the books and I hired psychology experts to work with me, like coaches and therapists, and I just kept going deeper on the inside because I could see that this became a negative pattern in my life, that I was attracting people who were living out my nightmare, who would eventually always say the exact same words, and yet these women didn't even know each other. And yet they all came to the same conclusion. And sometimes in our lives, we keep repeating negative patterns because of a belief that we formed when we were young. The belief that we formed that maybe we're not good at what we are working at. Maybe the belief is that we're not attractive or that no one would ever take us seriously. Or why would anybody love us? But in my 20s, I just kept studying. I kept reading books and going to the courses and hiring the coaches and doing the internal work on myself. And I kept asking girls out and having short relationships, and they would fall apart, but I'd just keep going, and I would keep going, and I would keep going. Until finally the relationship started to get better. So finally, I stopped hearing the phrase, "I'm just worried what other people will think." Until finally, I went on a date with a woman who said something that cracked my whole life open. I told her about how I was scared to fall in love with her, because I had loved many other women that all came to the same conclusion, that while they loved me, they were worried about what other people thought. And Mindy said to me, "I hate to break this bad news to you, Sean, but those other women didn't love you." I love you is not an experience of I love you, but it's an experience of I love you, period. When you truly love someone, you don't love them amidst a condition, or like you have to close one eye and look in another direction because of some behavior or their appearance, that you love all of them. And I ended up in this great relationship that I have now. I've been with Mindy now for 8 years, and we've been married for 5 of those 8 years. And the reason why I bring this up on this podcast, the reason why I share it with you, is because that taught me so much about other areas of life. That when you are afraid, when you're doubting yourself, when you don't believe that something's possible, when you're scared, when you feel rejected, all you need to do is just keep going. Keep studying. Keep learning. Keep going out there and making attempts. It doesn't matter if you're looking for love or building a speaking career or developing a fortune, whatever it may be. If you just commit to keep going and keep putting yourself out there, it will eventually happen for you. And now, some people will say, but Sean, I need to know when. And I don't have that answer. I don't hold a crystal ball. I don't know when you're going to eventually get all the things that you are desiring. But I tell you that as you keep going, you will develop some momentum. And little by little, you will develop the self-esteem, because you'll have these little moments of victories, and you'll learn from the rejections, and you'll course correct again and again and again. You know, if I could go back to that young boy in 7th grade who got dumped by Maria, I would tell him, it's going to be okay. You end up with the woman of your dreams. You have a wonderful marriage. She loves you. You have a great intimate life. Everything's going to be okay. Just keep going. And I turn that to you now. Where are you feeling overwhelmed? Where do you want to quit? Where are you allowing your limiting beliefs to hold you back? Where are you feeling like, gosh, this is never going to happen for me? Because wherever that is in your life, I want to encourage you with the same set of words. Just keep going. I've been thinking that when you create things from a place of discomfort, you grow. And when you create things in a place of comfort, you end up repeating what you already know. So what do I mean by that? Well, I just gave a talk yesterday, and I never use PowerPoint presentations. I, in 23 years, have never done a PowerPoint presentation to an audience. But I thought, you know what? Let's create something outside of your comfort zone. Let's do something and see how it goes. You might find that you love it. You might find that it brings you a lot of joy. So how can you judge something that you've never done? And I created this slide presentation. It took me all week. I was reorganizing the slides, trying all the different pictures. I was developing this whole concept, and I shared it with a group of about 60 entrepreneurs in a networking group I'm in called Genius Network. And I gotta say, I hated it. Maybe you didn't see that coming, but I hated it. I put together the slides, and I used the slides during my presentation, and I was uncomfortable. And even though I hated it, I'm glad I did it. Because I got outside of my comfort zone, And I told myself I was willing to squirm. I was willing to be uncomfortable. I was also willing to show this audience who had seen me speak many other times that I still have areas of my speaking career where I'm a rookie. I'm not used to using slides. And it made me uncomfortable, but I was willing to give that a try. I was really willing to attempt it, and I did. Now I'll probably never do it again, but now I know. And now I don't have to wonder. And now I know what my strengths are. My strengths are telling stories and teaching through storytelling. What are your strengths? And do you really know what your strengths are if you've never tested out the contrasts? I believe that if you're willing to do things, willing to create things that are outside of your comfort zone, you'll learn a lot from yourself. If you aren't willing to risk rejection, embarrassment, if you aren't willing to risk that struggling, wiggling, squirming moment in front of people, you're never going to grow. Here's your lucrative speaker tip today. Grow the size of your network. The more people that know who you are, and the more people you know, the more you're going to be able to get opportunities to speak, or get coaching clients, or sell your books. People need to know who you are, and you need to have multiple touch points with them. Maybe they meet you at an event that you paid to attend. And then maybe they meet you again at another meetup that's free. And maybe they see a video that you posted online. And maybe they get a message from you on Facebook. And maybe by that fifth time that they make contact with you, they turn to you and say, "So, tell me a little bit more about yourself. What do you speak on? What's your topic? What are you here to do for the planet?" And on the inside, you might be thinking, "Are you kidding me? We've interacted 5 times. Why are you paying attention to me now?" But that's how humans are. The busier people are, the more successful people are. Just because they meet you once or twice doesn't mean that they're going to pay attention to you or open their network up to you. It might take multiple touch points, multiple interactions with somebody for them to stop their life for a moment and to get to know yours. And you can't be upset by that. It's just how it works. So what you want to be doing is meeting people, interacting, growing your network. That means getting outside of your comfort zone and going to events that maybe you don't know a single soul who will be attending. It doesn't matter. If you have a message burning in your heart, if you know you belong on stage sharing a powerful message, it's going to come down to you growing your network. Another little lucrative speaker tip is, if you're not that good of a networker, make friends with somebody who is. And then go to things with them. Maybe they will be an awesome individual that opens up the conversations. I believe that you're gonna need a network to grow your business. Thanks for listening to this episode. Make sure and subscribe to The Sean Stevenson Show on iTunes and leave a review of the podcast. For more information and further conversation, head on over to our Facebook group, Lucrative Speaker. I'm Sean Stevenson, your professional speaking guide. I'll catch you next time on The Sean Stevenson Show. You've got a message. Let's get it to millions.